The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
And he launches it to right field, and it is gone! On a 1-2 pitch, he got a down and in fastball and hit it on out of here for his third of the season.
Okay, what did we talk about? Oh, it's getting better and better with each game.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Peters. We are live at Porky's Bar and Grill in Etna. Our For the Win charity drive rolls on. You stop by, you bring a gift card to any major retailer, Target, Walmart, Amazon, you name it. It goes to a good place. The Greater Pittsburgh Women's Center and Shelter, helping out those people who really need our help this holiday season, helping them create a better holiday for their friends and family. And that's part of our big charity push here over the month of December. And that's why we're out and about at all these great places, including Porky's, where T-Bird, who once won our hot dog eating contest, was telling me that he's excited for some burnt ends in a few minutes. And I told him you can never go wrong
with burnt ends in a barbecue place.
Have you been to Kansas City?
No. I know that's like the home of the burnt ends. I probably...
Well, Craig Riley, if you're listening...
I probably have to do this.
Your lair, where you are...
Oh, he does like to
crunching
the
numbers
and
saying...
He's looking at the data. Content.
The streaming numbers are through the roof.
No, make sure you get a picture of yourself getting punched in the face. That's content. Post it. Cross-post it.
If the Steelers play an AFC championship game in Kansas City, we're going.
Okay.
And even if I have to pay out of pocket and then figure
invoice Nick Wright,
down
who will
the
then
road,
pay
I will
for
do
it.
That. But
yes.
If it's Steelers Chiefs, we're there.
Is it a situation where Nick Wright would pay for us so long as the Chiefs ended up winning the game? And then if the Steelers won, he'd be like, I'm so despondent, I'm not going to foot the bill for you
guys. I don't think I could talk Nick into going because he'd have to maybe I could because his show Monday is not till later. He doesn't do mornings anymore. I think I might be able to swing that.
What if they just sent his show out there because the Steelers are a big brand name?
Not a Fox game, though. He'll be at the Super Bowl.
That's true.
If we're in New Orleans, we're going to do that, too.
Oh, God, I might not survive a New Orleans trip at 40
Why?
Years
we
old.
Why? We did it, Malzi.
Yeah, I know. It was years ago, Pony. That was many, many moons ago. I'm like old Obi-Wan Kenobi here.
So the Spencer Horwitz thing happens at 10:45 last night.
Mm-hmm.
And Poppy Annie and I reacted on the sports call to it. I saw what was going on social media. Then I turned the station on this morning, and I heard one version of the trade from the morning guys. Then I heard a completely different reaction to it with Starkey. Doran said, and I quote, I love this trade.
Mm-hmm.
Starkey hated it. Who would you say you are closer to on the spectrum?
Joe.
Joe, very anti the Spencer Horwitz deal. Doran said, I love this deal.
I'm closer to Joe. Can you give me some detail? What were Doran's reasons for loving it?
Economics 101. Supply and demand. You have a lot of pitchers. You don't have a lot of hitters. You traded one of your pitchers who is not one of your elite prospects or great young arms, had a very good year last year, but is not someone that necessarily has to be a part of your future. And you swapped him out for a guy at a position of need who had a pretty good rookie year, even though he's old for a rookie. He's in his late 20s.
I understand the logic there, but man, you know what's interesting about this Spencer Horwitz is that opinions about him are like all over the map. Now, Keith Law is by no means a an infallible figure in baseball analytics circles.
But
or
he did
used
to work for the Blue Jays.
He previously worked for the Jays. By the way, just the hilarious Jays connection. This is a guy Cherington, I think, drafted with the, when he was with the Jays or helped draft.
Their assistant GM came from Toronto, and Matt Haig, now their hitting coach. We're just building.
We're building the Blue Jays south. Jays.
We got Isaiah Kiner for Leffy here, too.
And maybe we could get Vlad Jr. That would be
nice.
And
I heard this is not the first time they've tried to trade for this guy.
Okay, so.
So he's been in their crosshairs for a while now.
So Keith Law is bona fides. Everybody kind of knows who he is. Carnegie Mellon's very smart guy.
Nerdy prospect
guy. And he's often been very right about prospects. To leaven that with he has been wrong, he once said Kevin Newman was the best pure hitter in his draft class, best hit tool, just was always going to hit in the major leagues.
And then he turned into Paul Newman the second he got to the majors.
He might have turned into, I don't know, he might turn into
from
Newman
Seinfeld.
From Seinfeld,
yes.
Thank you. Or Paul
T-Bird,
Rubin. Or Paul Rubens.
I love Seinfeld.
Ah.
I don't think it's held up that well because every single episode could just be cured with having a cell phone, but like some of the individual lines have held up well, like George is getting frustrated or all that stuff, like the Costanza stuff.
I just think the characters are great. I love Kramer.
Who's your favorite?
Do you love
Kramer.
The fact that they're all like remorseless sociopaths who learn nothing from their actions? That's basically the point of every episode.
I've not watched a ton of Seinfeld. I've watched maybe 30 to 40 episodes. I know there's a lot more. I think George is the MVP.
But there's no, well, he's Larry David. They didn't like. The show is about Larry David, essentially, and Larry David is played by George. That's Larry David in fictional form. Like, when he's with the Yankees and he gets them wearing cotton uniforms or whatever. No. The best one is George can't have sex because his girlfriend is mono. And Elaine is in a similar situation with her boyfriend. Not being able to do that makes Elaine dumber. Like, she just can't, like, function. And George becomes basically the world's smartest man, like a Flowers for Algernon situation here, Pony, for that reference for you. He's telling the Yankees, he's, like, lecturing Jeter and Bernie Williams on how to hit. And he's like, it's a simple math equation. It's, you know, velocity V, and he's just hitting home fake home runs out of Yankee Stadium. And Jeter finally goes, you know, we did win the World Series last year. And George goes, in six games. Like, those are great bits.
Charlie, were you a Seinfeld guy?
Those are great bits.
I wasn't a Seinfeld guy until college when one of my fraternity brothers, his dad, was actually the producer for Seinfeld. So,
wow.
Oh, so he was...
What a flex!
So he was pretty poor, huh?
Yeah. That's
what
all
was the dad's name? I feel like I've seen enough episodes.
His name is Tim. He also produced Two Broke Girls, I believe, on CBS.
One of my favorites.
The man is Kat Dennings.
Yes, that show.
I think I've said this before. I fantasized about being with... I don't even know why I'm even going down this road.
Oh,
can
no.
Get back
well,
to baseball,
you just
please.
Started driving the car down there. I think we could all kind of figure out where it was headed, though.
All right. So
I know, on Horwitz, I have like a pretty defined opinion. So... I thought at first, like, and this frustrates me, it seemed like an overpay right off the bat.
Ortiz, you gave up two prospects, too.
Ortiz for Horwitz, I think, feels more like a true baseball trade.
It is.
We really do have supply here. We have a demand for this position. Maybe Ortiz goes to Cleveland and is better than he was here. Maybe Horwitz isn't as good as they're hoping, but, like, seemed like a fair deal. Throwing in two prospects made it seem weird, and then just reading more about Horwitz from the people who are, like, really on the inside here has made me very uneasy. Like, if this guy doesn't get on base at a pretty prodigious clip, you're getting a lower power guy. Like, all the exit velocities and stuff they use to match, like, does this guy hit the ball hard and have bad luck or whatever? This guy doesn't hit the ball that hard. The bat speed's not that great. The one good thing he does is get on base because he's got, like, a terrific batting eye.
It's interesting. I
know. He doesn't chase. You know what he reminds me of? I'll give you a nice, concise example. Like, a destitute man's Joey Votto. And I mean emphasis on destitute here, because that's the kind of player profile I get. A lefty who crushes right-handed pitching, but really gets on base more than he does anything else.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Doesn't crush pitching. He's got a 360 OBP last
year. That's
really
good.
That's very good.
It was tops among all the rookies last year, and there were guys like Jackson Merrill and...
But he's also he's going to be 27.
Yeah,
this
he was
year.
A late bloomer. He was blocked by Vladimir Guerrero Jr. There, I have no issue with that. I mean, that's how the Pirates got Brian Giles. Essentially, is you look for guys that are good but just have better players ahead of them. I heard that they were very in Toronto. This is so. Let me go inside baseball for 2 seconds. That they thought maybe he benefited from the automated strike zone in the minor leagues.
Okay.
Because he had such a good eye, and they thought maybe that wouldn't translate to the major leagues where it's still, you know, we're still talking about.
Yeah, it's still umps.
you know, the Jerry West of the – not Jerry West.
It's
the
Cowboy.
Joe West.
Angel Hernandez.
Yes.
Well, no. Angel's
not anymore.
Gone now.
They're both gone. I'm thinking of, like, the old-timer.
Yes. The
umpires.
Guys who but made it about themselves.
You get what I'm saying. Tim
yes.
McClellan, guys like that.
Yes.
And he had – he overachieved this year, and they flip him to Cleveland, who immediately flips him to Pittsburgh. I think in a vacuum, it's a fair trade. I agree. Like, I gave the trade, I think, on Twitter a B-. I think, yeah, you gave up some extra arms in your minor league system, but they're not considered to be high-end prospects. They're decent prospects. Right now, as crazy as this sound, I think the paradigm shifted. Hitting is more valuable than pitching is. Pitching is more plentiful than hitting is, mm-hmm. the way that the game has shifted.
Yep.
But here's ultimately why I agree with Starkey. It's such a small market move. What I had in mind for this Pirates offseason to make me happy, to put a smile on my face, to change the narrative of how last season ended so poorly, to imbue me with hope that this season would be different with Skeens in his first full year and everything else, was that they'd actually go out and make some major moves, not a ton, but a couple of big moves to show people that they mean business. This is not one of those trades.
The only way this move becomes is if it's a precursor to move, because they have control of the guy for a long time and he's cheap.
They got a good platoon first baseman, I think, with a little bit of upside.
He's on the strong side of the platoon because there's more right-handed pitchers
than
left-handers.
And he hit him fine. And look, the Pirates won a World Series in 79s with platoons. I know that's 45 years ago, but I'm not denigrating platooning players because I think it does have value, clearly. It's just, it's a guy that hit 12 home runs last year.
At one of the positions where it's supposed to be easier to find power.
And your third baseman hits for no power. And
your team didn't hit for any power last year
either.
You're
one of the worst lineups in the entire league. You got to make a considerable jump from last year. And Spencer Horwitz just doesn't move the needle for me that way. I'm flummoxed on how Doran could say he loves the trade. Like when I think of like loving something, I'm picturing a move that like pays big dividends for the team. I don't feel that way about this, and I'm very concerned. I heard Parado driving in with Joe too.
John did not pull any punches.
He was down at the winter meetings. He said that in all his years of doing it, and he's covered 100 lost teams and rebuilding Pirates teams, they've never felt more irrelevant as a team that's going to make splashy moves one way or the other, whether that's dumping payroll and getting rid of big guys or actually
adding payroll.
Yes, or like making some big baseball trades. Neither. And you've only got Paul Skeens for a very small window. You've got to maximize it and take advantage of it. It doesn't sound like they are, and this trade doesn't make me think that they're any closer to doing that.
It would be better if I thought they were going to use some of the small amount of money saved maybe from this to make a big move, but I don't think they will. Just I'm going to read this. Just one. This is Keith Law's lead graph. This is certainly one of the strangest deals I can remember, as Spencer Horwitz is suddenly a hot commodity, which is unusual for a 27-year-old first baseman with middling power and fringy bat speed.
Fringy.
He's like, hey, I'm not a fan of this guy. But it's very clear that Keith Law feels the Guardians won this deal convincingly.